Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com, Signos.com, with code SPARK. Signos.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night, and good luck.
Hi, folks. Today's elephant in the room, you know what it is. It's political violence. Charlie Kirk is dead. He was killed by an assassin of some kind. We don't have a lot of details as of this recording. By a single shot. He died instantly. There's no excuse for it. There's no rationale for it. There's no reasoning for it. There's no, Charlie Kirk was a bad guy, got what he wanted, got what he deserved. Because no one deserves this. The Hortmans in Minnesota didn't deserve this.
Speaker Melissa and her husband, Mark, were shot and killed early this morning in what appears to be a politically motivated assassination. Our state lost a great leader, and I lost a dearest of friends. Speaker Hortman was someone who served the people of Minnesota with grace, compassion, humor, and a sense of service. She was a formidable public servant, a fixture and a giant in Minnesota. She woke up every day determined to make this state a better place. She is irreplaceable, and we've been missed by so many. Minnesota's thoughts and prayers are with her family, her loved ones, her children, and her parents. My prayers also go out to State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette, who were each shot multiple times. The Hoffmans are out of surgery at this time and receiving care, and we are cautiously optimistic they will survive this assassination attempt. This was an act of targeted political violence. Peaceful discourse is the foundation of our democracy. We don't settle our differences with violence or at gunpoint. In the state of Minnesota, and as recently as last week, in the most closely divided state legislature in the country, we sat down, we worked things out, we debated, we shook hands and compromised, and we served the state of Minnesota together. We proved that it's possible, even in these politically charged times, to find compromise and adhere to the principles of democracy and civil discourse. We must all, Minnesota and across the country, stand against all forms of political violence. At this precipice moment we're on, this tragic act here in Minnesota should serve as a reminder to all of us. The democracy and the debates in the halls of Congress, in state houses, in school boards, is a way to settle our differences peacefully and move society to a better place. We're collaborating with all local, state, and federal agencies on a full investigation. We're committed to keeping Minnesotans informed as the situation continues. I assure you that those responsible for this will be held accountable. And each and every one of us are committed to making sure that a tragedy like this never repeats itself in Minnesota or across this country. I'd now like to turn it over to my public safety team to fill you in on the specifics of this ongoing investigation.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you, everyone, for being here today. My name is Drew Evans, and I'm the superintendent at the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. I want to start by just expressing our deepest sympathies to the communities, the family, the friends, and everybody that cared about the individuals that were gunned down today.
No one side of the political spectrum has a monopoly on ideologically driven violence. The degree to which Trump is now trying to exploit this, and that MAGA is trying to exploit this and turn this into a political power play, is an obscenity.
To my great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight, all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror. Charlie was a patriot who devoted his life to the cause of open debate and the country that he loved so much, the United States of America. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, and there has never been anyone who was so respected by youth. Charlie was also a man of deep, deep faith, and we take comfort in the knowledge that he is now at peace with God in heaven. Our prayers are with his wife, Erica, the two young, beloved children, and his entire family, who he loved more than anything in the world. We ask God to watch over them in this terrible hour of heartache and pain. This is a dark moment for America. Charlie Kirk traveled the nation, joyfully engaging with everyone interested in good faith debate. His mission was to bring young people into the political process, which he did better than anybody ever, to share his love of country and to spread the simple words of common sense. On campuses nationwide, he championed his ideas with courage, logic, humor, and grace. It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today.
You know, folks, I'm a guy who likes things that are made to last, that are built well, that are built with care, that are built with commitment, that are made by folks who really want their product to last and to mean something in your life. You know, I have a few weaknesses in that regard. I love a good pair of handmade shoes. I love a good watch. I also love Boll & Branch sheets. Now, before I even had a podcast, Renee and I were Boll & Branch fanatics. They're made with this amazingly long-lasting quality material that gets softer with time. They hold up amazingly. They're so comfortable. And for both of us who are hot sleepers, and when I tell you I'm a hot sleeper, I am a hot sleeper. These Boll & Branch sheets are so cool, and they keep you cool all night long. And I live in Florida, and believe me, we need it here. We're so happy with our Boll & Branch sheets that I'm really honored to recommend them to my friends and family. They're just so well made. You cannot imagine the quality level of these sheets. They are just terrific in every department. These Boll & Branch sheets feel amazing, not just because of the thread count, which is kind of a myth, but because of the actual thread they use. The material they use, the fabrics they use are so high quality. You'll know it the second you touch them, the second you have them on your bed. It's one of those intimate products you can buy in a weird way. It's something that you're going to sleep on every night. And believe me, we have several sets of Boll & Branch sheets. And again, this was before they became a sponsor of the show. We're real believers. We also love the Waffle Weave blanket, which is one of those things. It's warm and cool. It breathes beautifully in warm weather. If you bundle up in it, it's wonderfully comfortable. And they look great. You know, I've never had a set of sheets like these Boll & Branch sheets. The softness is just something I know I remark on it frequently, but they really are so different than any other sheet I've ever purchased. The quality level is apparent right away, and they just get softer and softer and softer with every washing. I also love the fact that these incredibly high-quality sheets, they're made with 100% organic cotton. It's soft, it's breathable, it's durable. And the quality, again, it gets softer with every wash. And Boll & Branch comes with a 30-night worry-free guarantee. Feel the difference an extraordinary night's sleep can make with Boll & Branch. Get 15% off plus free shipping on your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com/Lincoln. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com/Lincoln to save 15% and unlock free shipping. Exclusions apply.
I disagree with Charlie Kirk on every conceivable
approach. I thought his philosophical approach was not particularly conservative. It was trolling, provocative, all those things.
We have a huge housing crisis in our country, the likes of which we have not seen in a long period of time. But I believe that we need to build horizontally, not vertically. It's one of my speeches. Developers don't like it when I say this, but it's true. The higher the building, the more liberal the voter. It just is. So, and if you are, the closer to the ground you are, the more conservative you are. We should encourage people to spread horizontally and not vertically. Look at Denver. The higher the high rises, has Denver become less free or more free? It's become a dystopian nightmare. You guys know that. Now you might say, Charlie, that's a correlation or a causation. Think about it. If you're on the 32nd floor renting, not owning, if you're not in the weeds and in the yard and understanding what it takes to grow food and to maintain the land, are you going to be more or less likely to actually be a conservative? The higher the building, every single study shows they become more liberal over time. It's happening in Phoenix, happened in Denver, happened in Atlanta, happened in Dallas, happened in Chicago, happened everywhere, and yet few people actually say that out loud.
Good evening. I'm Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. Together, the largest conservative grassroots organizations in the country. Thanks to our work, I talk to a lot of young people on campuses, at our events, on my radio show, podcast, and social media. Said differently, I visit college campuses so you don't have to.
Thirty-one-year-old guy. Dad. Husband.
Sharing two kids with the former Miss Arizona USA. The pair met in 2018, and Charlie says he knew almost immediately that Erica was the one. Back in 2024, Charlie said at a Turning Point USA event,
knew almost immediately. I met her and we had a very, very long dinner, which was very close to almost an interview. And no, you're going to laugh, but you should absolutely interview for your spouse. By the way, if they don't check the boxes, move on and go to the next one. Dating for dating's sake is bad for you. It's bad for them. It's bad for everybody. You should date with the intent to marry.
The two became engaged in December of 2020, before tying the knot in May 2021, in a very intimate ceremony without bridesmaids or groomsmen. And speaking on her own marriage June 13th, Erica says,
we figure out the dynamic of at least having a date night at least once a month, at least. But there'll be moments where he's literally about to rush out the door and I won't see him for several days. Kids are wreaking havoc in the kitchen, pulling things out all over, and he just grabs me and he's like, 1 minute. And we just literally stare at each other for a minute and say, like, I love you, whatever you need to say, but we have that 1 minute together to reset our hearts. And honestly, that is something that helps recharge the bucket until you get that date night.
Nobody with two little babies deserves to be shot for their political views. The Hortmans didn't deserve to be shot for their political views. The normalization and rhetoric that has surrounded this era of our lives is insufficient to excuse or to explain why Charlie Kirk was shot. The guy that shot Donald Trump and Butler, or shot at him.
Now, a CBS News investigation shows Crooks fell apart, invisible to many people in his life. Scott McFarland examined the evidence he left behind.
Thomas Crooks was just 20 years old with no history of political radicalization or violence.
Thomas Crooks.
An engineering student who impressed his teachers with big plans for his future, according to his former professor, Patricia Thompson.
And I thought he was a star student. He had his head on straight and he was on a path for success.
Did you think it can't be him?
Definitely.
This is my audience for the persuasion speech.
In the months before the incident, he was seemingly leading two lives. CBS News uncovered emails showing last year, Crooks was applying to transfer to a four-year engineering program while at the same time designing a bomb.
Freshman year, 2019.
Is that more how you remember him?
Yeah.
Tristan Radcliffe, who was also interviewed by investigators, says images of Crooks from that day in July show a physical transformation.
When I would see him from like elementary school to when I last seen him at college, he would always have like tight denim jeans, glasses, short hair. And then just to see him like that, like, oh my goodness.
And then this was his final presentation.
Thompson, who taught Crooks in 2023, compiled an exhaustive archive of Crooks' schoolwork, searching for clues.
Did you find it hard to open this back up?
Oh yeah.
And the mystery over why he did it haunts those close to Crooks.
He's a MAGA, registered Republican from a conservative family. There are a lot of lost boys in this country. They're responsible for a lot of these killings, a lot of these shootings. Many times they're motivated by the eliminationist rhetoric of the great white replacement theory. Thanks, Tucker.
A mass shooting in Buffalo has rekindled debate over great replacement theory or just replacement theory. The great replacement theory has been around for a very long time on the fringe of the Republican Party and in racist circles. In recent years, we've seen the Republican Party and its members embrace a version of the theory that immigrants are being brought here to dilute the votes of Republicans and conservative Americans.
What appears to them is we're replacing national-born American, native-born Americans to permanently transform the political landscape.
Is it really they want to remake the demographics of America to ensure that they stay in power forever?
They can't win re-election in 2022 unless they bring in a large number of new voters to replace the voters that are already here. That's what this is about. We have an invasion in this country.
Fox News has played a major role in mainstreaming this idea in recent years.
Democrats who want to replace you, the American voters, with newly amnestied citizens.
Congress is not going to act because one party has a vested interest in changing the population.
If you use the term as an invasion, that's not anti-Hispanic, it's a fact.
I have less political power because they're importing a brand new electorate. Why should I sit back and take that?
Many times they're motivated by fame-seeking on the internet. If you look up the Terrorgram Collective, you'll see that there are people who are organized online to find these young men and convince them that the one thing that will make their lives memorable and that will make their names ring down through history is to kill somebody. It's a dark day. It's a dark time. No one in this country deserves to be shot for their political views. No one. You don't have to agree with Charlie Kirk. I most certainly did not, to understand that what is happening right now will accelerate unless we stop it from accelerating. What is happening right now will cost more lives. We will enter a cycle, as we've seen in other countries, that collapse. Our democratic and civil institutions collapse. Be a cycle of retribution that ends in nothing but an ocean of blood. You know, I've spent the last 10 years in this fight. I've gotten a lot of death threats over that time. My kids have gotten death threats. My family's gotten death threats. Even my dogs, for God's sake. When you enter the public arena in this country, you don't deserve to have the potential for death. Now look, the rhetoric that is being used today to condemn every Democrat, every progressive, everyone who isn't a Trump supporter is an obscenity. For people who say that they care so much about Charlie Kirk's death and Charlie Kirk was an advocate for free speech, what you're really hearing out of the right, out of Trump in particular and his people, is shut up. Shut up. This country has a long 240-plus year history of full contact politics. It has been uglier in the past by a long stretch. It has been vicious. You know what? It's how it should be. Ideas aren't always the Marcus of Queensberry rules. People get in discussions, disputes, they fight. But if normalization of political violence has a home, the right needs to look directly in the mirror. I'm not going to go through the long, long, long list of folks in the MAGA right who thought it was hilarious when Paul Pelosi was attacked by a guy with a hammer and almost killed.
Now, we had no terror during my administration. The only terror we had was Nancy Pelosi, who's a crazed lunatic. She's a lunatic. She is a crazed lunatic. What the hell was going on with her husband? Let's not ask. Let's not ask. I'll withdraw that statement. By the way, she's got a wall around her house. Obviously, in that case, it didn't work very well.
What the hell happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband? He guy in his 80s, almost got beaten to death by somebody that fed in to Donald Trump's crazed conspiracy theories.
A lot of Republicans have publicly condemned the violence, but some are actually making jokes about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Wolf. I mean, instead of this moment of unity, what we have seen is Republicans actually mocking Paul Pelosi and the attack. In fact, Donald Trump Jr. tweeted out some really crude memes making fun of Paul Pelosi and the incident that happened. And then you have Carrie Lake, who is the Republican candidate for Arizona governor, who had this to say at a campaign event earlier today.
It is not impossible to protect our kids at school. They act like it is. Nancy Pelosi, well, she's got protection when she's in D.C. Apparently her house doesn't have a lot of protection.
Our country is being destroyed. Together we will take on the ultra-left-wing liars, losers, creeps, perverts, and freaks who are devouring the future of this state like a swarm of locusts. And we'll stand up to crazy Nancy Pelosi who ruined San Francisco. How's her husband doing, by the way? Anybody know?
Not going to go through the list of people, e.g. Mike Lee, who yesterday was all absolutely certain about everything in this assassination. But when it happened in Minnesota a few months before, Mike Lee was mocking the dead.
A manhunt continued for an assassin who had already killed a former House Speaker and her husband and wounded a state senator and his wife, both lawmakers, Democrats. Lee tweeted a surveillance picture of the killer wearing a mask and a phony police uniform. The Utah senator's words, "This is what happens when Marxists get their way." Though with violence, politics probably doesn't matter so much. There's no indication the suspect in this case is a Marxist. Today, that post looks like this. It's deleted from Lee's personal account. So's this one, with the same picture and an official photo of the suspect. Lee's words, "Nightmare on Waltz Street," a joke about the state's governor, Tim Waltz. Minnesota U.S. Senator Tina Smith confronted Lee about the tweets.
So I thought it was important that Senator Lee heard from me directly about the impact of what he had written on me and on, especially on Minnesotans and the families of the Hoffmans and the Hortmans, who, you know, these kids that lost their parents, both of their parents, in this terrible assassination. And so I was glad that I had a chance to speak with him directly. I'm also glad that he took those posts down. I have not heard anything from him about whether he regrets doing that.
A strange dynamic for leaders from two states otherwise sharing a sense of loss related to the current political climate.
I think he was honestly sort of surprised to be, confronted in this way. Although, as I said, I was like having, I wanted to have a conversation with him. But he didn't say that much other than he heard what I was talking about.
So remember those tweets from Lee's personal account posted the same day? This tweet from his official account. It says, "These hateful attacks have no place in Utah, Minnesota, or anywhere in America. Please join me in condemning this senseless violence and praying for the victims and their families."
Making fun of them. Claiming that the shooter was obviously a Marxist. I'm not going to go through Donald Trump's personal encouragement of violence and his rhetoric over the last 10 years. You can look all this up yourself. It's not a secret. It's all out there. No side has a monopoly on it. Okay? But one side has a mechanism, a hate machine, as I call it. They control a news network that tells every Republican voter every day that immigrants and black people are coming to murder you, that they're in an existential struggle, and unless they win and do anything possible, that they will be killed and their families will be killed.
We are living right now in a rat's nest. They're killing our people in New York, in California, in every state in the union, because we don't have borders anymore. Every state is now a border.
Why are African Americans still dying at the hands of law enforcement in this country?
And so are white people. So are white people. What a terrible question to ask. So are white people. More white people, by the way. More white people.
We got a lot of work to do. You know, when they let, I think the real number is 15, 16 million people into our country, when they do that, we got a lot of work to do. They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done.
try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30%. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
One Side has a massive media operation on social media every day that pumps white replacement theory, that pumps the idea that every Democrat is a pedophile communist who wants to kill you. Are there pissed off people on the left? Sure. 100%. Were there pissed off people on the left who thought that Charlie Kirk's death was funny and fitting and just? Yeah, there were. And fuck them. Okay? Charlie Kirk's views are irrelevant to the fact that he was murdered. There are a lot of messed up people in this country. There are a lot of lost, sick people in this country. Social media has a role in this that is never going to be held to account. I'm going to be honest with you about that. Social media is never going to hold these people to account. You know why? Because the tech bros have sold out to Donald Trump, and there will never be any regulation.
Maybe describe some of the great things that you're doing with your company. I know, Mark, you're building some buildings that are as large as Manhattan. That was pretty good, right? It's pretty good. So, I thought you'd say a few words, and we could take a couple of questions later, maybe. Mark, would you like to say a few words about the company?
Sure. Well, I mean it's – sorry, should I turn this on?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for hosting us. I mean, this is quite a group to get together. And, you know, I think, all of the companies here are building – just making huge investments in the country in order to build out data centers and infrastructure to – power the next wave of innovation. So it's, we don't often get together as the CEOs of the different companies, but it's good to see everyone.
How much are you spending, would you say, over the next few years?
Oh, gosh. I think it's probably going to be something like, at least $600 billion through 28 in the U.S. Yeah.
It's a lot.
No, it's significant.
That's a lot. Thank you, Mark. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Great to have you. David, you've done a wonderful job in working with the White House, a great expert. Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor to work here at the White House and to work for you. You really care about this industry and all Americans, and I think you've done a tremendous amount already to unleash our innovators and also help build out the infrastructure of the country. And it's doing a lot, not just for tech companies, but for ordinary working Americans, the construction industry, the trades, electricians, carpenters. There's a boom happening right now in AI because of what President Trump has done in terms of stimulating investment. It's going to benefit all Americans. So it's really a thrill to be part of. And this is a really incredible group that you've assembled here. And it's like I said, it's just a great honor to have a foot in each one of these worlds and being part of it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And Sergey, you were saying a lot in the Oval Office. I figured you're somebody that likes to speak with his really wonderful MAGA girlfriend.
There will never be a moment where Section 230 is removed from these people. They will never have accountability or responsibility or culpability. You know why else? Because Chuck Schumer's daughter was the chief lobbyist for Facebook, maybe still is, I don't even know anymore, for years. And every time Facebook got under the hot seat, Chuck Schumer bailed him out. This is a bipartisan, transpartisan issue, if you will, where a lot of the perverse incentives that lead these young men into a position where they murder people, they've been fed something in that algorithm over and over and over again. Maybe they're lone wolves, but a lot of those lone wolves seem to drink out of the same well. They seem to find the encouragement online to do these things. It's a lot different world than we lived in during previous assassination attempts on public figures. It's a lot different world than we lived in with John Hinckley trying to kill Reagan or Squeaky Fromm trying to kill Ford. The kid in Butler, Pennsylvania, we still know so little about that case. But I promise you, when we do someday, we'll learn. He was deep in an internet hole, deep in a place where social media was telling him, yeah, your life may be meaningless, and here's some conspiracy theories to feed you paranoia and hatred and fear and anger. Here's a way you can be remembered. Your life can mean something. You'll probably find that out about this guy, too, who committed the murder in Utah. But when you wind it back, political assassination in this country is not an unknown. Sadly, we came very close in the 1960s to this country just flying apart at the seams. John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King. The people that killed throughout history have found some motivation to justify it, found some complaint in the system to justify it. But if you conflate hot political rhetoric and you believe that critique and criticism of the president or those in power has to always be in a soft voice with a polite note, you're not looking at American history at all. You're not looking at the values of a real robust philosophical debate in a system where the First Amendment was the first for a reason, where freedom of speech was first for a reason. What you're seeing from a lot of the folks on the MAGA right is, again, the message of shut up. We're going to say that your criticisms of us and of Trump led to this. We're going to say that you guys are murderers. You know, for the party that says fuck your feelings all the time, for the party that believes that they're the tough guys, that they're the ones who stand in the breach of civilization's collapse, they're awfully delicate because they don't really believe in free speech. They believe in speech for themselves. And if you think that the outcome of Charlie Kirk being murdered is that free speech needs to be restricted and that political debate and critique of those in power needs to be silenced, you're missing the whole point. Even if Kirk, you know, he used his platforms in ways that I think were often reprehensible, often despicable. He said things that were loathsome. A lot of it was he's playing a character. From a lot of people I've known, I don't know Charlie, I never knew Charlie myself personally. A lot of people that I know that knew him said in person, he was perfectly polite, a nice guy, pleasant guy. But he played a role. He played a character on social media, running his organization. And that's fine. You know, some people live that way. I don't live that way. What you see is what you get. I am exactly as I am all the time. If you were here having dinner, would be the same guy I am right here talking to you right now. But this idea that political violence will escalate, you will enter a cycle of retribution in this country, is one that no one with the shred of civic responsibility in this country should want. It is a fearful world in which political violence escalates. And I'll say this. Again, I've spent a decade in this fight. I've been threatened at various degrees of seriousness, some quite serious, some quite painful, with law enforcement being involved and people going, you know, at us hard. Not pretty. I've had people show up at my home. I've had people threaten me in public. And then, you know what? I wouldn't trade that for the world. Because if I torqued it down, if I silenced myself, it's not true and honest about the commitment that I've made personally to this country and to the Constitution. I wish Charlie Kirk wasn't dead. I wish I could still make fun of him for being a flounder-eyed motherfucker every day. I wish that Charlie Kirk had not been murdered. I wish that this country understood that the rhetoric and the violence on every side of the political and ideological spectrum should be contained to the ballot box, to the pages of the newspaper, to television, green rooms and shows, to the radios, your podcasts. It has not been that way for a very long time. There are people on the right who, whenever it's a shooter like El Paso or the Tree of Life Synagogue or the New York grocery store, when it's a white supremacist, white nationalist, anti-Semite, they say, oh, that's a lone wolf. That's totally random. What? That's crazy. You would associate us with that. They don't want that rule to run both ways, because right now they're describing every Democrat as a violent provocateur, as a Marxist terrorist, as Antifa, BLM, whatever catalog of imaginary demons entry they have for the day. It's a hard one to do. Because look, Charlie Kirk is now a martyr for the right. Watch how quickly they exploit that martyrdom. Watch how quickly they convert that into a political strategy. Watch how quickly the rhetoric that escalated within minutes of his death. And by the way, my emails started popping a couple minutes after he died. You're next, motherfucker. You did this. You caused this. Y'all can believe that all you want. But America is a country where we swing hard, elbows out, where our fights and our politics aren't meant to be quiet notes, Robert's Rules of Order meetings. Sometimes things are worth fighting for. Charlie Kirk would have agreed with that. His death is a tragedy, but so are the deaths of hundreds of other Americans every week, every year. Charlie Kirk was famous. He was a friend of the president. He's a friend of the president's family. And again, from everyone I knew who knew him personally, they always said, his character he plays on TV, he's perfectly nice in person. Again, I didn't know the guy. But we have a choice to make as a country. The escalation in the wake of this and in the aftermath of this shooting, it's going to get ugly. I don't feel good about it. The fact that the president is looking now that this is finally the distraction. I don't believe in the conspiracy theory. I don't think there's a conspiracy here, folks. They will now try to convert on this. They will now try to make this into another, oh, the shooter was a trans Antifa, this and that and the other thing. And therefore, all Democrats believe that. Therefore, all progressives believe that. Therefore, all liberals believe that. Therefore, all critics of the president believe that. It's tragedy. It's a dark day. Pray for the Kirk family, for his wife and children, and for his friends. I am. We are. Thanks, folks. See you next time.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.